Our scripture reading this evening is from two passages. The first is from Isaiah 25, and the second is from 1 Corinthians 15. And both those passages are in the bulletin that you have, and we'll just read from those passages as they're given to us in the bulletin. First of all, Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. Hear God's word. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And then from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 50, the Apostle Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." May God be pleased to bless us through his word. Amen. The text I've selected for this evening is Isaiah 25 and verse 8. And I'll read it now from the New American Standard Version, which I customarily use. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. "He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." Mary Winkler was and is a 32-year-old young lady, and for most of us that would be a young lady. And one Wednesday afternoon in March just past, she shot her Church of Christ husband, who was a minister in the church parsonage and ran away with the couple's three young daughters. That same Friday afternoon, or Friday at least, there were pictures in the news of Mrs. Winkler as she had been charged with the murder of her Church of Christ minister husband. I looked this up on the internet and put in something like, minister's wife murders. And I was astounded when the search came back on the internet, the number of ministers that have been killed by members of their families. This was not the only one. Kind of gave me pause. Well, I don't think I have to worry about that. But the question that arises immediately is, why do such things happen? And not only this, when will such things come to an end? When will it ever end? And of course, those of us who sincerely love Jesus Christ and know Him understand when such things will come to an end. It's when Jesus Christ comes a second time in glory and forever removes the curse of death and brings the gift of life to all of His people. That's when such things will come to an end. And that's the promise of God for each one of you who sincerely trust in Jesus Christ. God will forever remove the curse of death from you and give you the gift of life. What a good thing that is. And this is what our text in Isaiah 25 and verse 6 teaches us this evening. And of course, the background is the fact that death is all around us, as I just said. It's all around you and it's close at hand. And the reason death is so prevalent is that it is the punishment for sin. You remember the story in the garden, don't you? And Adam eating the forbidden fruit. And Paul tells us in Romans, it was by one man's disobedience that sin entered the world and death through sin, and so death passed to all of us. This is what happened. And it's not only the death of, or the sin of Adam that brings death upon us. That was the first sin. He got the ball rolling, so to speak. And because of him, we suffer. But then we have to reflect on ourselves, don't we? The wages of sin is death. And all I have to do is reflect on my own life a little bit, and I know that I am worthy of death. I grew up in a home where my father taught me to drink, and I did drink, and sadly suffered the consequences of that quite often. And it took the grace of Jesus Christ to take the desire of drink out of my life. That was a sin worthy of death. This afternoon I was doing some things and I went to a drawer in our dining room that has a bunch of pencils and other things, and I was scratching around in that drawer, and in the bottom of a box in that drawer was a bunch of paper clips. And I thought to myself, I know where most of those paper clips came from. They came from the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. They don't belong in this house at all. Well, that's a small thing. But small sins are worthy of death. And small words spoken in anger are worthy of death. And I dare say you can remember a few of those kinds of words that you've spoken. And so we are all worthy of death. And it takes Jesus Christ to remove the curse of death from our lives. Now look at our text in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up death for all time, it says. Jesus Christ, the Lord, will do this. The place in which this text is found in Isaiah has to do with the end of time. And if you look up a little bit further in the text at verse 6, it says, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. That is Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is the church of God. And it's located in the New Jerusalem. And this has reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the end of time. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And of course the people of old in their banquets loved that. That was a sign of God's blessing. And then verse 7 says, on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all the peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all the nations. The covering, well, in the Old Testament, let me put it this way, in the tabernacle, all the furniture had coverings. And the tabernacle itself had a covering. And there was a veil in the tabernacle, you know this, that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And there were very few individuals who were privileged to go into the holy place. And only the high priest went into the most holy place once a year. Otherwise, when the tabernacle was transported from place to place, everything was covered up. And when it was set up, the representations, the pictures of heaven, were covered by the veil. And so, as it were, the pictures of heaven and the views of heaven were covered, were veiled, so that people could not see them. And it was only when Jesus Christ came the first time that the veil was torn in two, and in part, the veil was removed and drawn back so that we could see the things of heaven. And what this passage of Scripture is telling us is that when Christ comes a second time in glory and the dead are raised, we will be able to see heaven in its fullness. Those coverings and those veils will be totally destroyed, and we'll be able to see the things of heaven. That's going to be a great time. I'm kind of looking forward to that. But then let's get back to this text, verse 8 in Isaiah 25. He will swallow up death for all time. You see, at the end of the age, when Christ comes a second time in glory and the dead are raised, the Bible here says that death will be swallowed up. And that word swallow means destroyed. We've already alluded to that. That the coverings in the tabernacle and the veil will be destroyed. There's an interesting story in the book of Numbers that most of you, I think, will remember. The story of the rebellion of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And they rebelled against Moses. They thought Moses was a little uppity and was taking charge where he shouldn't be. And Korah and company thought that they ought to have some of the leadership. And Moses said, okay, let's do this. Your priests, you bring your fire pans before the Lord, and we'll see if the Lord accepts you or not. And as the story goes, when they brought their fire pans, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and company and destroyed them. Just opened up a big mouth and swallowed them. And so this idea of swallowing means destruction. Death will be swallowed. Death will be destroyed. The book of Revelation tells us that death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire and will be destroyed. Death will be no more. This is an exciting prospect. And of course, this comes about when Christ comes a second time in glory. Let's read the scripture in 1 Corinthians again and see what the Apostle Paul tells us here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Version this time. Paul says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise be unto God." You see, this is exactly what Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up death for all time. Death will be gone forever. And it is the victory of Jesus Christ that gives us this. And when death is swallowed up in victory, the text tells us, the Lord will wipe tears away from all faces. This reminds us of the book of Revelation again too, doesn't it? He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. You see, when Christ comes again and the dead are raised, there will be no more reason for weeping because death will be gone. I remember when I visited Chaplain Ed in the hospital after his accident a little while ago. And I was stunned by something he said to me. He said, as he was lying in the hospital bed, "I've signed a do not resuscitate order." That is, because he was having some heart difficulties, he took the step of saying to the hospital, "If my heart stops and I die, do not resuscitate me." I was shocked by that. I understand why he did it, because of the brittle bone disease from which he suffers, and someone pounding on his chest would not have good consequences. But that brings it close to home. And we would have been very sad to see that do not resuscitate order executed. And we all would have wept. Jamie Dixon, the basketball coach at University of Pittsburgh, just lost his sister of 28 years old. She was the women's basketball coach at the United States Military Academy at West Point. And she had heart difficulties similar to those Chaplain Ed was suffering from. And she did not survive. And I know from a very good source that that family is weeping. And you can understand why. But when death is swallowed up in victory, there will be no more reason to weep. And God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And that's not all the text tells us. He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. He will remove the shame of all his people, and he will do it as we stand before him. Do you remember what the Shorter Catechism says? Question and answer 38. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers, being raised up in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. Imagine that. I know there have been some times in my life, as I'm sure there have been some times in your life, when your face has flushed red and been hot with shame and embarrassment. Is that true? I think so. And I know that's the case with me. But on the day of judgment, because of what Jesus Christ has done for the likes of you and the likes of me, all of our sins are washed away, and we will be openly acknowledged, publicly acknowledged as the people of God before all of the world. And there will be no shame. And God will say to each one of us, not guilty, not because of a perfect life we've lived, but because Jesus Christ died to pay for every one of the sins you committed and every one of the sins you will ever commit. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for them all, and you will stand without shame before the Maker, and he will say, "Welcome, good servant, faithful servant, enter into the presence of your Lord." Openly acknowledged and acquitted on the day of judgment. I think that's what this text means. He will remove the reproach. He will remove every reason for shame and disgrace. He will remove the reproach of His people from all the earth. And then finally, what does our text tell us? The Lord has spoken. I don't come to you on my own authority, and I dare not do that. But I come to you on the basis of what is written in the very Word of God, and I come to you on the authority of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and He has spoken. The writer to the Hebrews says that in many diverse ways, God revealed Himself in times past and spoke. But then He finally spoke in Jesus Christ. And He has spoken in Jesus Christ. And the way He spoke was this, principally and primarily. In Jesus Christ living a perfect life and dying in agony on a cross to bear the penalty due to the people, His people for their sins, people like us. And then He rose again from the grave to prove to the world and to prove to you and to me that His sacrifice was adequate payment for our sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed spoken. And because of what He has done, He removes the curse of death from you and from your family who believes in Him, and He gives to you life eternal. The Catechism, again, is quite helpful here, I think. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and perfectly blessed to the full enjoying of God through all eternity. Of course, you remember the first catechism question, don't you? What are we to do? We're to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And we're getting a foretaste of that now. We're getting a foretaste of joy in the Lord. But I tell you, dear people in Jesus Christ, as you believe in Him, the prospect is that you will be delivered from the curse of death, because death will be swallowed up in victory, and you will be given the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. Several years ago, I preached a sermon at Synod from Psalm 122, and it was a sermon in which I was a candidate for my position at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. And so I had to discuss the sermon a little bit with the men of Synod, and they were lined up behind the microphone to ask me questions. And I had said in the sermon that I believe with all my heart that we will have the privilege in glory of being around the throne of God and sing His praises forever and ever. And it's my hope just to be in the midst of that crowd. And if I'm just on the threshold and have to step on my tippy toes to look over to the rest of the crowd to see the throne of God, that's good enough for me, because I'll be there. And one of the men That sentence said, "That's not good enough for me. I want to be right in the middle." Well, that might have been the case for him, but I'll say it again. I'd rather be at the doorstep of the house of the Lord than to stand in the courts of wickedness. And just to be there with the people of God to sing His praises and to know His goodness and to enjoy Him forever. That's good enough. And that's the prospect that you have. God will forever remove the curse of death. Dear friends, death will be swallowed up in victory. And He will give you life forever in Him. This is the promise of God. And dear friends in Christ, you can bank on it. Thus says the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your good word. We are unworthy of You, of Your goodness and grace and love. When we think of ourselves, we contemplate ourselves as Calvin often thought of himself and said to You, "How is it You could be so good to a worm like me?" And yet You are good to us, Father. And through Jesus Christ, You have conquered death. And in the end, death will be swallowed up in victory, and we will have enjoyment of You forever. Thank You for this promise. And thank You, Father, that this promise is given to us because of what Jesus Christ has indeed done for us. We thank You in His name. Amen.